Hello and welcome from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. This podcast you're about to hear was recorded at our Booragoon campus. So sit back, relax, and enjoy what God has to say to you.
Good morning. My name is Peter Chase. I really appreciate you naming the whole series after me. So Peter, chasing God's heart. So you shan't forget me. It's such a privilege to be able to come and kick off 2025. So happy new year. Lovely to see you. And I've got so many connection points in this church. Like there's so many people that I've done so many stories and parts of life with. So there's many that I haven't, but hopefully you get to know a little bit about me and we can go on a bit of a journey. So we've got about 20 minutes or so. So get comfy for the first Sunday of the year. But I wanted to ask you quickly. You don't know much about me, but if you went and asked people about me, if you went and said, what's Peter like? What's Peter Chase like? The summary that they give you would be like what I put out, the sort of character traits that I put out. They'd tell you Pete's this or Peter's that, and that'd be the sort of display of what I put out. So I wanted to sort of ask a question of you and also put a challenge in front of you for the start of 2025. This is for all of you. So whether you're young, whether you're old, a 2025 challenge is I wanted to ask what people might say about you. What would people say about you if I went up and asked them? What is the summary of who you are? The thing that you put out. I wanted you to get a word. I've put a few up there to give you a start. I want you to get a word. Even now, while you're sitting there, maybe it's something you talk about, and I'd love you to go home, all of you, put the names of the family on the fridge door, on a piece of paper, and put a word next to your name. That word helps direct you for what 2025 would look like. So if you put up the word, so Peter Chase is going to be brave in 2025, and it's on the fridge door every time he goes to grab a chocolate out of the fridge. No, be brave, Pete, shut that fridge door. But it directs you. And so these are the words I went through and thought, these are words I would love to be said about me. What would people say about you? So I want, that's a little first up challenge that I want to give you. So conversation at home after church today, go home, have lunch, and come up with the names that are going to sit on the fridge for 2025. And what's the word that's going to direct you? Some people name their kids names that help direct the story of their life. So let's just do 2025. But above what you put out, there is a word or a thing that God would say about you. So what does God say about you is way more important. Like no matter what opinion people have of you, no matter what opinion you have of yourself, God, our Father who art in heaven, sits in a space that he looks at you and he sees you and he sees you in the context of everything, and he's got things to say about you. So I got a little quiz to get you engaged, a little quiz. I'm going to put up some phrases that God has said about people, and I want to see if you might know who these people are. Now, also, I was going to say, any kids want to come and do some colouring in, I've got two grandkids living at home. I have four grandkids. Two of them are living at home. As I said, I've got a cat and eight chickens, so having people moving around while I'm talking is pretty common, so it makes me feel at home. So I'm going to put up a list of things. Now, I need some help here. So can anybody tell me what did God say? Who is the first person God's talking about? This is the Sunday school answer. Jesus. All right. So that's Jesus. So my beloved son. Now, is there anyone who can tell me who the second name might be? What did God say about this? Who did God say this about? Abraham is the friend of God. What a thing to have said about you. What God says about you is really important. Face to face with God, who is that? Moses, that's right. Now, Jesus had things to say about his disciples who had lots of different character traits, messed up quite a few times, but Jesus said about Peter, he was the rock. Now, I don't know if you know the last one, who did Jesus say this about? I love this guy. I love this guy in the Bible. Nathanael was a man that God said, in him is no guile, which is, he's a completely honest guy. Man, I've met a few, not many, but I've met a few Nathanaels. They're great people to meet. They're people that you just know that there is no point and there's no thought in their head of twisting a story or telling you a half-truth. They just, They just speak the honest truth, and man, it's refreshing. So what God says about you is really important. Now, we're going to talk about David. David, our shepherd. It's already been mentioned from the stage. Something said about David is one of the greatest things God could say about anyone in the scripture. These are great things. Friend of God, face to face with God, no guile, no lying, completely honest. But this was said about David. And this was said to a king who was running a country, and he thought being a king meant he was on the top of the pyramid. He was on the top of the hierarchy. He was the guy that everybody should look to and jump to and listen to. And God said this to him, that your rule as a king is not going to continue, because I'm going to seek after a guy who's a man after his own heart, a man after God's heart. The things that are on God's heart, that's what's on this guy's heart. And I'm going to put him as the commander over his people, because you haven't done what I've asked you to do. And so we're going to talk about this guy, David. And David is like the character after God's heart. So that's our theme today, God's heart. Let's get hold of God's heart. For the whole of January, we talk about David. David is a picture and a person who points to God the whole time. It's so good. A bit more fun. We've got to look, if David is after God's heart, and we know that today his theme is God is a shepherd. I wanted to, like, another game. This is what you can, what animal would people say you are? If I went up and have a conversation outside, what animal would people, if I walked up and said, what animal would you say I am? And sometimes I say to my kids, like, I tried it out on my home. And apart from turkey and a few other things, that child's grounded. apart from a few other things, like lion would be the top of the list that people want. Oh, I want to be called a lion, like strong, powerful, you know, like in charge. Eagle, horse, gazelle, like people move, and like that's a description of them. Otter, that's a weird one, isn't it? Like, this is me, this is my slide, I made it. I'd love to be described as an otter. Like, they're just the coolest animal. Like, they're just, anyone like an otter? I saw a hand, yeah, otters. There's a few of us otters around. So this is a conversation to have, like, what animal do you think I am, Dad? You know, Dad, like, and so, Dad, I think you're a, or Mum, you're a. So now, interestingly, if we use the same thing about what people say about you and what God says about you, what animal does God say you are? What animal does God say you are? Now, not only once in the Bible, but a number of times, God says we're a sheep. Wow. Okay. I would like the lion, you know, I would like to be called an eagle, or maybe even God says, Peter, you're an otter, but God says you're a sheep. Now, I get this, and I'm going to throw up a scripture here, and I've been sort of umming and ahhing whether I can do this with this crowd, but we'll see. I get that from here. Now, when you see this, I don't know what goes on in your head. The vintage in the room is roughly, probably averaging around me or a bit below. If I'd said, we all like sheep have gone astray, what would you say? Thank you. I wanted that to happen. So, let's try that again. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, seeing Isaiah 53:6. Oh, that was ridiculous. Thank you so much. Now, if you don't know what's going on, we've just done a Colin Buchanan song. And Isaiah 53:6 has to be followed with a So Isaiah 53:6. Thank you. It's really good over here. It's really good. This is a great group. So this tells me that not one of us escapes the definition of sheep. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. So if you took the sheep bit out, we all have gone astray. And we've done it like sheep. Now, I've got some stories about sheep. Now, I saw David wanting to shear the sheep. I've shorn a sheep. Shorn the sheep, it's, yeah. I've shorn, you know where they get the name from for shorn the sheep? Yeah. I have shorn a few, actually. And it's, if I had a list of things in my life that I really love doing, and things that are really hard and not enjoyable, shearing a sheep is on the not fun and not. And you go, what? How could you be a fluffy, lovely sheep? You got wool, you're cuddling an animal. The hardest thing about shearing a sheep is that the sheep does not want to be shorn. Like, that's what we saw earlier on. I've had some experiences with sheep. I've got a bit of land, like a little bit of land that's covered in kaikuyu grass. One of those things I'd love people to say about me is I'm a kaikuyu grass tamer, because I have managed kaikuyu grass. It's a weed, like it's a weed in some places. If you tell it to grow there, that's what it'll do. But I thought it'd be a great idea to hire, like, to borrow some sheep from a friend of mine. Because mowing this lawn, keeping the kaikuyu looking great, is not easy. So I thought I would go and borrow three sheep from a friend of mine. He had them in the trailer, he brought them to my place, opened the trailer door, and away they went. And it was a great idea. Like, I just sat there having cups of tea, watching the sheep shear, like, mow my lawn. They were great. They were so good. Now, the great idea turned into a really, 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 really bad idea when it came time for the sheep to go home. I had three sheep that were loving kaikuyu grass. They were loving my yard. They were loving doing what they were doing. But I had to ask them to get back in a trailer. So please, just jump back in the trailer for me. No, sheep went the other way. They needed to go home because I couldn't really look after sheep for long term. And so I managed to encourage, with a bit of effort, two sheep back into my trailer. Like, it was a lot of wrestling, a lot like, and oof, and shut the door. But I don't think I've ever been any more exhausted, ever. Like, it really does stick in my mind. It's not even joking. And I had to wrestle this third sheep. I wrestled this sheep to exhaustion. Like, I had this sheep in headlocks and in footlocks at every move that I could have. This sheep was almost in a trailer a couple of times. It would get its hind leg on the edge of the trailer door and it would be gone again. And I wrestled this sheep for hours. Like, literally, it was so hard. And I finally got to this sheep to the point where we were both exhausted. The sheep, I could feel, was giving up. I was about to give up. And we sat, I got a breath of fresh air, I just rested for a few minutes, got the lactic acid out of my muscles, grabbed the sheep and finally got it back into its trailer. The point is, this sheep did not want to do what I wanted it to do. Now, if you needed any more examples or evidence that sheep are not easy to look after and why God calls us sheep, I've got a few photos. Now, the problem is these photos are going to be what you remember from my talk, and none of you are going to remember anything I say, but that's okay. You remember it was a sheep talk. So this is one sheep that somehow decided that it was a great idea to go into a bramble patch. Like, that was what it thought, and that's what it did. Sheep have this terrible this combination. It's like mixing two inert ingredients together and putting them together. They have two character traits that make them very dangerous. One is they're very impulsive, and whatever pops into their head, that's what they're going to do. Like, whatever it is. Like, I want to go this way, or I want to go into this bramble patch. I don't want to go into that trailer. Whatever it is, a sheep thinks that's what it wants to do. Added to that is they're really, really, really bad at looking after themselves. So those two traits are really like a terrible mix. I want to do whatever I want to do, but I don't know how. They've got no defense mechanisms, they've got no claws, they've got no teeth, they can't run like a gazelle, they can't roar like a lion. They've got nothing going for them. They would say uncomplicated in their thinking. It sort of describes me. So here's another example of a sheep that just thought it might have been a great idea. The gap at the top of the fence was probably bigger than the bottom, but anyway. There's another one. So yes, somehow thought it had could walk on water or mud or something. So sheep continually getting themselves into situations. This one did the rounds for years. It became a meme. And the bottom line is, I've just connected what God says you are to a bunch of photos. I don't know if, I don't know if this may be the first time you ever came to church. You might have thought 2025 would be going to start going to church. Welcome. I'm glad you come and you've got to listen to me. And I've come and told you you're a sheep and likened you to a bunch of photos. So the bottom line is, we sheep need a shepherd. This photo reminds me, because I used to live in a place where there was a river in front of me, mudflats. It was a tidal river in Sydney. And I remember seeing something very similar to this one day. I came out in the middle of the Warrenora River in Sydney, standing on a mudflat, was a sheep like this, just all by itself. Sheep need a shepherd. Sheep cannot look after themselves. Sheep have a personality that just, whatever they think they do, we all, like sheep, have gone astray, turned to our own way. That's the reality. That's the tough reality. But the coolest reality, the wonderful reality, is we're talking today about David, the shepherd, who was a man after God's heart, and we're going to put those things together. The Lord is my shepherd, was what David said. I've come to realize I need a shepherd. And this list that's on here, he's a shepherd to all. And I put that up, and this is probably in my prep for today, and I've been really blessed. So if you get nothing out of this, at least you can have a warm heart knowing that I was blessed prepping this sermon. You can go home just knowing that I got something out of it. So that's good. But I put in lowest and slowest because I thought, oh, they rhyme. But I'm in the middle of a situation at the moment looking after a person who doesn't know the Lord well. They know the Lord through my family, but then they themselves personally don't know the shepherd. They haven't got a shepherd over their life. They're in a difficult spot at the moment, and they are very annoying at the minute. I'm like, thankfully, they're not here, but they wouldn't come anyway, but they, very annoying, like trying to look after this person who's in a difficult situation. No, I won't do that. I want to do this. And no, I'm going to do it myself. And after 27 things that you do for them, they go, I did that myself. You know, I got out of the chair into a wheelchair by myself. And it's sort of, and they're angry as well. And so I put those two points up there because God is the shepherd to everyone. Everyone. Now, it's good to say amen, and if you today have come to church for the first time, if 2025, and I don't know any of you, and this is my first time here as well, 2025 might have been a year you've said, I'm gonna come to church. You might be online today, and you've just tuned in. You need a shepherd, is my bottom line. If you get nothing out of this, doing our own thing ends up here. I'm a chaplain at Kennedy Baptist College, and I get to sit front row seat sometimes. Front row seat, watching the mess that we like sheep can do. I've seen some messes, man, some incredible messes. I want to do this, I want to go there, I want to do this, I want to go this direction in my life, and Peter, can you now help me? I need some help. And I've seen that, and I've done it as well. And he's the shepherd, the wonderful shepherd to all. So let's get back to David. We haven't got long, and we want to look at David. And what we heard about David is David the shepherd is after God's heart. So we saw this, that he's a man after God's own heart. So we're going to do a little bit of Bible maths here. So like maths, everyone loves maths? Yeah, good. Three of us do, yeah. So a little bit of Bible maths is he's after God's heart. So we're going to put it all up. So David was a boy, was a shepherd of sheep. We find out that God's heart is shepherding people. And so David after God's heart means David becomes a shepherd of people. It's a really simple maths equation. And so saying, yeah, good, it's God is a shepherd and it's good to have a shepherd and we need a shepherd. But the cool and the most amazing thing that I wanted to bring out of this is you, or David, with God's heart, turn into a shepherd. And that only happens when we sang the song, and I put the slide up, so it's sort of in here, but you know this, we just sang this. That's David's psalm. That's the goal, that's the place that comes to when you come to a place, when you as a child, you might be young sitting here and you're sort of not sure what this bearded guy is talking about. You as a child know that we need God as a shepherd. We get in trouble. We need help. Dad, help me. Mum, help me. God, help me. I need to know which way to go. We saw in the video that sheep just wanted to go to the most dangerous place it could, and it needed rescuing, and it got rescued by the shepherd. So This is, we sung it, so I don't need to read it out to you, and time is short, but so that's what he said. The Lord is my shepherd, you prepare a table before me, your goodness and mercy and love will follow me all the days of my life. You're a good God looking after me. So we learn that God's heart is a shepherd heart. So for the next 5 weeks, we're going to find out things about David. But ultimately, David, if he were here, and we are, those who know him are going to have a chat with him one day, because life on this earth is only temporary and there is a home in heaven. And we're going to sit there and we're going to thank you, David, for giving us a glimpse of God's heart. Because you gave us a glimpse that God's heart is a shepherd. In the next 4 weeks, if you come through January or you tune in online, you're going to hear attributes of David that are the same attributes of God, because David is after God's heart, and that's what comes out. So I can't leave this, and I'm going to finish up with a couple of stories. One just very quickly from the scripture, and I summarize it because time is pretty short, but this is the connection, is that you having a shepherd has something in God's heart where he goes, look, there's so many people, I want you to help me shepherd. And I get that because Jesus had come to the earth in this story. Jesus had come to the earth, he died on the cross, he'd risen again, and his disciples had been scattered, and all of a sudden Jesus is back, and they came back to him. And there was this really important conversation. This like rings in my heart because it's about Peter. It's about me, actually. Not this me, but it does ring true for me as well. And this is three times Jesus was asking Peter, do you love me? This is reinstating Peter. This is getting Peter ready for not just Peter, you need a shepherd. Peter Chase, you need a shepherd. Insert your name. You need a shepherd. It's not just that. This is the main point that I would love to leave with you. This is the challenge, the second challenge. First challenge, go home, write an attribute on your fridge, all of you in the family, and live to that this year. Encourage each other in it. This one is for the rest of your lives. This is the challenge, 2025 and beyond. Come and be the shepherd. So, Peter, do you love me? And Peter goes, yes, yes, I do, I love you. And so Peter says, right, if you love me, go and feed my lambs. Do you love me, Peter? Second time, yeah, take care of my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, yes, feed my sheep. Jesus was making sure that Peter got the point three times. Like we usually say, if Jesus made a point twice, then it was pretty important. If he made it three times, I think it gets very heavy and it gets very weighty and very important. You're not just to have a shepherd say, God, which way do I go? What do I do next? What do I do next? The place of being in God's kingdom and the heart, the man after God's heart, the woman after God's heart, the child after God's heart, starts to get God's heart activity going on. And so that's what he wants. So I want to finish up with a quick story and pull this thing together a little bit. I haven't been there, but I've researched it a little bit and found some of it. But years and years ago, this story stuck with me well before I was married, and I've been married for 32 years. Pretty sure that's right. Yeah, 32 years. No, I know it's all right. And well before I got married, early in my Christian walk, a couple in my church, when I was a single guy, new in the Lord, a couple in my church went for a trip to the Holy Lands, to the Bible lands, to Jerusalem, and they traveled around, and I don't remember much of their story, but they told one story that has sat with me for years, and I'll share it with you, is that they were in a marketplace, and you can imagine a Middle Eastern marketplace, and there's stalls everywhere, and foods, and smells, and sounds, and everything, this busy marketplace, lots of colour, lots of people, and they were in this marketplace pushing through the crowd, and while they were in this marketplace, a man was walking through the crowd, like just like any other man. He was a big bearded man, and as he got closer, they could hear that he was mumbling, like quite loud, talking to himself, a little bit like, you know, somebody's angry or a little bit crazy, and they've got a conversation going in their head. Instead of in their head, it's out loud, and he's mumbling in obviously another language. And he walks past them, pushes past them, and they just mumble, and so they just get back on. And as soon as he's passed, next to their leg, they feel a sheep pushing past them in the crowd, right behind this big man mumbling. And they look down and go, wow. And as they're looking down, right behind that sheep was another sheep pushing past them in the crowd. And then right behind that sheep was another sheep. Six sheep in total were pushing through a marketplace, in busy Middle Eastern marketplace in Jerusalem or in Israel somewhere, following a shepherd's voice. And hearing the shepherd is the key. In this marketplace, there's so many dangers. Now, we talked about a sheep. Sheep are impulsive. They do whatever comes into their head. They listen to their own thoughts before they listen to anything else, especially sometimes us listening to God. We listen to our own thoughts before we listen to God. This picture is in a marketplace of so much danger, so many disasters, so many things could go wrong. They're following the voice of the shepherd. Their own thoughts are second, the voice of the shepherd is first. And so hearing the shepherd's voice is literally everything. And that second point is, in this story, is there's one sheep that's really close and it's hearing the voice of the shepherd and it's staying right on the shepherd. But the next sheep, might, in the noise of the marketplace, may have some trouble hearing the voice of the shepherd, but he's following the sheep that's hearing the voice of the shepherd. And you get the picture. And we get down to the last sheep, and there's no way the six sheep can hear. That's hard to say, six sheep. Anyway, there's no way that sixth sheep can hear the voice of the shepherd, but because people are following the voice of the shepherd, so challenge for 2025 and beyond is listen to the voice of the shepherd so others can be following as well. And don't worry, just they can follow. You don't have to turn. You listen to the voice of the shepherd. And there's so many scriptures, like there's so much to go on here. And you have to have, as the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, tells us, you have to have a shepherd so that you can be a shepherd. They're my points for today. That's the thing I want to leave you with is, it's great to have a shepherd, and as I said, if you're new into church, this is your first time here, you need a shepherd. Just come to him. It's so easy. It's not a big deal. Just come to him and say, I want to listen to you more than I want to listen to me. Get out of your own way. Listen to the shepherd. But that's not the end of it, because he wants to make you and turn you into a worker with him, the first sheep in the row or the second sheep in the row. He wants to help you, wants to make you help others. So I want to leave you with John chapter 10. I grabbed this bit. I want to read this bit out to you, and I'm going to get off the stage in a second, and Nadia is going to finish with reading John chapter 10. So John chapter 10 is your homework. Tonight at dinner, grab your Bible out, New Year's resolution. Every Sunday night, you're going to sit down and read the Bible at your dinner table. Do you like what I'm doing here? I'm giving you so many things to do. So I'm going to read John chapter 10. So John chapter 10, the whole chapter. But this bit I love. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. No one will deflect that sheep following that shepherd through the crowd in the marketplace, noises, sounds, dangers everywhere. No one will deflect that sheep. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I'm going to get off the stage and I'm going to let the rest of some of John chapter 10 speak to you. And it's been my pleasure, absolute pleasure, to kick off 2025 with you. So thank you for having me. So.
I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast brought to you from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. Our prayer is that what was said today inspires you and strengthens you in your faith. If you would like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, you can contact the team during office hours on the number you can find on our website at mounties.org.au. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to having your company again soon. God bless.